Everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, you're here and you're ready for the Word of God. And boy, I tell you what, we've got a humdinger of a message for you here today. How many of you received the text message last evening? Well, you know the direction. And I tell you what a topic to teach on the Sunday morning after daylight savings time. Whew, I'll tell you what, this is either going to shake you awake, right? Or we'll just see what it does for you, right? And of course, we know at 11:30, we're going to get a whole new influx of people that come in, and right? We'll have standing room only, right? Because maybe they forgot to set their clocks. But you didn't forget, and God's got something good for us here today. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 13. And you know that we are now deep into a series of messages on the book of Revelation, a topic that is so often overlooked. It is passed by. Perhaps it overwhelms a lot of folks or whatever, or people don't understand it. I frankly believe that a lot of ministries do not teach it because they do not want to have to stand in front of their congregations and actually preach something that is convicting or challenging, or maybe not, you know, the favorite thing that they want to hear. But folks, remember, we're the redeemed of the Lord. Father, we know that our Father God, He's got a plan for us. He is ready, you know, to rapture the church off the earth. We know that we're not going to be here for these things. But we preach these things so we are motivated to make sure that we take as many people to heaven with us as absolutely possible. Amen. And so we're deep now into our study. We're now halfway through. We're more than halfway through the book of Revelation. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be wrapping this up. Folks, you know that time does not permit me to go into an in-depth review and to cover everything that we've talked about so far. This is part 10 of this series. If you need to go catch up there and you want to catch those previous messages, go on to our archives, fcjamestown.org. You can find us on YouTube. You can get caught up on these messages. We need to study this stuff because the Bible says, blessed are those that read, hear, and guard the words of this prophecy of the book of Revelation. Now remember, John the Apostle, he is the one that is writing this book of Revelation. Jesus is showing him. He has literally been caught up to heaven. We know that John was the last living of the original 12 apostles. We know that he has been jailed and exiled to a Roman prison on an island called Patmos. He, you know, the devil thought that he was wrapped up, he was contained, this great man of God, but then the Lord gives him this prophecy that has now covered the entire globe. It has affected millions and hundreds of millions of people, and these are the things that will come to pass here in the future. We know that the next big prophetic event that will happen on God's calendar is the rapture of the church. That trumpet is going to sound, the voice of the archangel is going to shout, and the church, those on this earth that have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, will be caught up to be with the Lord. And when that happens, this current age, which the Bible calls the age of the church or the age of grace, the age of grace will come to a close, and then it will begin what the Bible calls a 7-year period of tribulation upon the earth. It will be a time where God is judging a world that has rejected him and hated him. Even so, there still is signs of God's mercy during this time. But folks, why not just know Jesus and accept him while the grace is free? Why not lead your loved ones and your friends to Jesus right now? Make sure they are not here for this tribulation period. You cannot just say, well, if that happens, you know, I'll just get saved during the tribulation period. No, because the Bible says that those that will be saved during the tribulation are only those that never knew or understood the gospel. And so you do not want to take that kind of chance. Let's receive the life that he has for us now. Amen. And so we know that so far we have come through the seven seals. We've talked about the seven trumpets. Remember, the book of Revelation is structured with three sets of judgments. There are the seven seals, the seven trumpet judgments and the seven vial judgments, V-I-A-L, that refers to a container that you could pour something out of. And now we've come through all seven seals, all seven trumpets, and many other events. And now today it is time to talk about the Antichrist, the false prophet, and demonic religion. Ooh, I know that sounds pretty heavy. This is definitely not your 3 points and a poem kind of message here today. So we're gonna call today's message the Antichrist, the false prophet, and demonic religion. And you're going to see today that these things in the future are already casting their shadow upon our nation and upon this earth right now. Go to chapter 13. Last week we were in chapter 12 and we saw that there was a war in heaven. The Bible says that there will come a day where Satan and his angels will no longer be permitted in heaven. And you might ask yourself, well, Pastor, are you saying that Satan and his angels are permitted in heaven right now? That's not my idea. That's exactly what the Bible says. And remember, what is Satan doing in heaven day and night? He's accusing the brethren. He goes before God to accuse you and me, try to claim that we're not worthy enough. And Jesus Christ, our advocate, steps up and says, I made them worthy. I washed them of their sin. You know, we are not supposed to give the devil any ammunition, right? However, if we sincerely miss it, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. And there's coming a day in the near future when Satan and his angels will no longer have any access, will no longer be able to accuse the brethren. And at the end of chapter 12, it says, Satan then falls to the earth finally with great wrath. And we pick it up in chapter 13. I know we got into chapter 13 a little bit last week. But today, we are gonna get more specific. Amen. And we know that Satan comes to the earth, and the first thing he does is he possesses a man. And this man is called the Antichrist. He is a world leader. He is a political leader. He will be the one that comes to the forefront and creates a world peace at the beginning of the tribulation. But then in the midpoint of the tribulation, he will become fully possessed of the devil, and he will take control of all nations. We are seeing more and more of these things happen in our earth here today. So we know that that is coming. And so let's go to chapter 13 and let's start in verse 1. Are you ready for this here today? Oh boy, here we go. A very heavy topic here, folks. It is not something, you know, that I love to just, talk about, but it is my responsibility as the pastor of the church. Are you ready? Chapter 13 in verse 1. Now, usually I read the whole chapter and then I go back and teach verse by verse. But what we're doing here today, I'm going to read a verse and I'm going to teach it. And then we're going to go, verse by verse. And I'm going to stop on each verse and teach on it. Verse 1, John the Apostle says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now, he's not literally on earth. He's not at the beach, right? He's not on vacation, right? How many of you like to be standing at the beach right now, right? Woo! No, I'd rather be right here, right now, right, man? I stood upon the sand of the sea. He's having a vision. Jesus is showing him the future. And he says, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And if you read this verse casually, you're thinking, what is going on here? What is John seeing? Folks, you must understand that the book of Revelation uses very intense imagery. And you gotta really do your homework and study the Bible to understand what these images mean and what they represent. All right, let's start in verse 1. Notice he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. First of all, when you see this word sea, and you will see it also in the book of Revelation, the word sea here is not talking about the oceans. The word sea is a reference to peoples and nations. It is talking about the sea of humanity. It is talking about the beast is a reference to the Antichrist, and he is literally coming out of the masses of humanity on the earth, all right? And so the sea represents all the peoples of the earth, and the word beast here is a reference to the Antichrist himself. The reason why it says that he comes up out of the sea, because that is the Bible's way of telling us that he is a human being. And also the Bible makes it clear, he is a man. He's a man that rises up out of the masses of humanity, and now he's depicted as having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon those horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, that doesn't mean that this natural man has literally seven heads. It does not mean that he's deformed or funny looking. It's an image of who he is and what he does. All right, the seven heads represent seven kingdoms that he will control, or he will be a leader of a confederation of nations in what is modern day Europe. When the Antichrist comes to power, he will come up out of the masses of humanity in what we call the modern day continent of Europe. And now notice it says these seven heads have 10 horns, and upon those 10 horns are 10 crowns. That's a reference that the Antichrist will be a leader of a European Union that will have 10 kingdoms or 10 nations. There will be a confederation over there in Europe, and this Antichrist will come out of that place. Folks, it just so happens in the days that you and I live in, we have the European Union. We know that it's taking place. We know that these things are going to come to pass. The European Union is all fresh and new right in most of our lifetimes. We're starting to see these things happen. At any given time, the number of nations participating in the European Union, it changes all the time. But we know by the time the Antichrist takes power, he will personally have control of 10 of them, and he will lead over 10 other rulers that are in that place. Folks, today we're going to talk about the five great world kingdoms that the Bible mentions. Not only references it here in the book of Revelation, but also in the book of Daniel, all right? And so now he sees this Antichrist rise up out of the sea of humanity. He is a political leader, and he has power over a confederation of seven nations. He's leading over 10 other rulers in that European Union. And notice, upon his heads is the name of blasphemy. This man comes to power with a hatred for all things that are called God. Folks, do you see the spirit of Antichrist in this world? Do you see a hatred for all things called God? We're living in the days and the times where our governments are trying to rewrite the definition of marriage. They're trying to recreate other genders. Why are they doing that? Because that is blasphemy against God's design and God's purpose. We got to know, and we have got to see that. We are living in this day and time. And upon his heads are the name of blasphemy. He hates God, and here we go. Now, verse 2, it says, the beast, the Antichrist, which I saw come out of the masses of humanity, I saw was like to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now, we already know who the dragon is. We were introduced to him in chapter 12. Who is the dragon? Satan. Boy, don't everyone get too excited about that. I understand. That's not something you say with great audience and cheer, right? But yes, the dragon is Satan, and this man will be given his power and authority from Satan himself. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And we see that, and we wonder, why is it being described? Why is there a description of this Antichrist as a leopard, a bear, and a lion? Folks, we got to do our homework in the Bible. We have to know and understand, when you study the book of Daniel, the great kingdoms of the earth were described in this sense. Each of these animals represent a different world kingdom. In the Bible describes five great world kingdoms. Number one was the kingdom of Babylon. back in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar. That was the king that tried to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. After that, we had the Medo-Persians. All right, remember after Babylon fell, the Medo-Persian Empire came to power, and it was described like a bear. Babylon was described like a lion. After the Medo-Persian Empire, you had the Greek Empire under the leadership of Alexander the Great. He was described as a leopard, all right? After that, we saw the Roman Empire, all right? And after the Roman Empire, the Bible predicts that there will be a revised Roman Confederacy in the days before Christ's return. That is what we would call the European Union over there today. Folks, we are seeing it. Five great world kingdoms, and you might ask yourself, well, why in the world is not the United States mentioned? Why is it not mentioned there? I'm here to tell you because the United States of America, in the grand scope of all Bible history, is a flash in a pan. Folks, I have the sad news to tell you. The reason why the United States is not included in this prophecy is simply because the United States will not be part of it. The United States might not even be there by the time these things come to power. We must know and understand that, folks, I love this nation as much as anybody, but this nation has turned from God. This nation has absolutely rejected her last call. And the United States will not be part of the five great world kingdoms that are on the earth today. We got to know and understand that. And why is the Antichrist described like a leopard? The word leopard there is a reference to the Greek Empire under Alexander the Great. Why is it referred to as a bear like the Medo-Persians? Or like a lion like King Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babylon? Because this Antichrist and his kingdom will wrap up all the qualities and abilities and attributes of all the world kingdoms before it. It will be truly a worldwide kingdom. It will do what none of those kingdoms ever managed to do. And so this Antichrist will have great political power, but now you're going to see he's going to receive spiritual power, not from God, but from Satan himself. Look at verse 3, and he says, "And I saw one of the Antichrist's heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." In the future, somebody will make an attempt to assassinate this Antichrist. He will be shot in the head, and the world will think that he's dead and gone, but he will come back to life as he impersonates Jesus Christ. And the whole world will wonder after him and say, oh my goodness, this man came to power. This man was shot in the head. This man was dead, but now he had the power to be resurrected. And when this happens, look at verse 4. They worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. The devil will get his own false resurrection. The devil will perpetrate a false Messiah in the future. And the world will see this man and they will believe in his resurrection. Isn't that ironic that the world is rejecting the resurrection of Jesus Christ here today, but yet someday they will follow this evil man who claims to have done the same thing? How many of you know Satan is just a fake? He's an impersonator. He has nothing new for himself. And now the Bible says that people will start to worship the devil and give power to this beast. And they worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the Antichrist? Who is able to make war and defeat him?" They will say, "We can trust this man. Nobody can beat him. Death can't keep him down." All the things they should have been saying about Jesus Christ in the days of grace. All the things that we should be saying about our Lord and our Messiah today. Who can make war with Jesus? Who can take him down? He is unbeatable. He is undefeatable. Amen. But they will put their faith in a false Messiah. They will put their faith in a false resurrection. We see that it's going to come to pass. And so now this beast is not just a political figure. He's going to be the center of a new demonic religion. A new demonic religion, and we're going to talk about that, but we've got to keep going here. Verse 5, "And there was given unto the beast a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months, or 3.5 years. Folks, we find ourselves in chapter 13. We are exactly at the midpoint of the tribulation. We are now 3.5 years, and right in the middle of the tribulation, the Antichrist isn't just a world leader. He now becomes Satan incarnate. He now becomes possessed with the devil. He now starts to rule. Isn't it very interesting? When the devil wants to try to take control of people's lives, he goes after government. Hello, anyone here today? Are you here? If, you know, of course, government is necessary, and we need to thank God, and we need to be grateful for good government. But we know Satan is constantly working to get into government. We would be foolish to think that the devil isn't working overtime to hijack our government. Unfortunately, he's hijacked a good portion of our government. And we are the church, and we are the ones that are supposed to have authority on this earth. We are the ones that are supposed to pray for those in our government. Amen. Praise the Lord. These things are going to come to pass. And of course, he was given power, and it says he was speaking great things. The word great there doesn't mean good. It means he's going to speak, you know, very grand ideas. And he's going to speak against God. And you're going to see here in just a moment, he's going to speak and say, I am God. He's going to say, I can prove I'm God. I've raised from the dead. He's going to prove himself with false miracles, signs, and wonders. We're going to read about it here in just a moment. And so he's going to declare himself the center point of a world demonic religion. And I'm here to tell you today that that demonic religion already has begun on the earth. We're going to say some things here today. Ooh, boy. I mean, hopefully this will wake some of you up, right? I know it's not a service that you sit there and be like, oh, amen, 1,000 times. It's heavy, it's weighty, but we got to know and understand it. Folks, the body of Christ today is very much becoming ignorant to the world we live in and what's happening around us. And I'm not trying to be sensational or controversial. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, look at verse 6. And it says, the Antichrist opened his mouth and blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle or his temple. Remember, that Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. So he starts talking about all against all things that are God. He blasphemes the name of God. He blasphemes the temple, which is at Jerusalem. And he starts to blaspheme those that dwell in heaven. This Antichrist will step forward and he will say, there is no heaven. There's no God up there. He'll say, I'm God. I'm here. And I've risen from the dead. You've seen me shot in my head, and I came back to life. He said, anything that was written about this other God, he's no God at all. And he will start to, as he already has, or not he, but the spirit of Antichrist. You know that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world? You know the Bible says that? It's not just in these days. It's been going on for a long time. And I may end up going over there and show you those scriptures. But this Antichrist will come and he'll step in front of the people and say, there's no God. There's nobody dwelling in heaven. We got rid of all them. You know, you don't have to live by those rules. You don't have to live by those standards. We can do whatever we want because we've got a brand new religion. And he says, if you worship me, I will let you do whatever you want to do. Folks, we're seeing this today. We're seeing governments around the world trying to redefine what gender is. Gender is not a creation of man. It is not a creation of somebody's mind. Gender, he made them male and female, nothing else. There is no transgender. There is, you cannot identify with being whatever you want. That is a blaspheme to God. It is an abomination. We're living in the days where kids are taught in school that they can be identified with being an animal. They can bring the cat litter boxes into schools. I'll tell you what, Satan's plan has always been to demean and to denigrate the creation of Almighty God. And the creation of God that means the most to him are human beings. To turn a human being into an animal, to turn those precious children that belong to God into an animal. It is satanic and it is demonic. We have to know and understand that. And this Antichrist, he will be the leader of that. He will say in this new religion, we create our own genders. In this new religion, we create our own ways. In this new religion, we throw out the Bible. Any religious text is worthless, and you're going to follow me. This is who this Antichrist will be. And people will believe it because they see the resurrection. Remember Thomas, when he saw Jesus? You know, Thomas said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail prints in his hand and the wound in his side. And Jesus, after his resurrection, he came in and he found Thomas. He said, Thomas, get on over here. Here, put your finger in the nail holes in my hand. Here, put your fist in my side. He said, and be not doubting. He said, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen. Blessed are those that have believed and not seen. That is who we are. See, but the Antichrist will give the world what they want to see. They will be different from us because they will believe only what they see. We have believed that which we have not seen, which we've put our faith and our trust in the Lord. Amen. And so he's going to be a great orator that speaks against all things that are God. The Bible says that he will rearrange the times. He's going to change the number of days in a week. He's going to change the calendar. He's going to try to insist that, the very times and the structure of the earth are going to be completely changed. The 24-hour day won't be a 24-hour day anymore. The seven-day week won't be a seven-day week. Why? Because those were designed by God. He's going to try to erase all things that are God. Do you see that in our society today? Everyone, so many in government are trying to just push all things that are God out. Folks, there's coming a day when it will happen, but we will be gone. And you don't want to be on a world where God has been pushed out. Verse 7, and it was given power to the Antichrist to make war with the saints, to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So now he has power over everybody on the earth. At the midway point, he takes control of everything. And remember, there are still saints on the earth. Believers, remember, the 144,000 Jews are out covering the globe and winning people to Christ. Remember that? They win people who did not know or understand the gospel. And this Antichrist makes it his passion to go out and kill the Jews and the Christians. Boy, nothing new. Yeah. Nothing new. See, why is it today that everything flies, everything is accepted except Christianity? You know why? Because they're terrified of Jesus Christ. They're terrified, even in the heart of the deepest sinner, even in the heart of the deepest God hater, they know Jesus will win. They know that he is real. They know that you can't overthrow him. Amen. Folks, grace is open now. The doors are open freely now. Repent. If somebody is living in a transgender lifestyle, guess what? They can repent. They can confess that sin. They can turn from that sin and they can make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, grace is open. God is so good. These are the days of his grace. But when that trumpet sounds and that archangel shouts, that grace is over and judgment will begin. Verse 8, and it says, all that dwell upon the earth shall worship the Antichrist. All those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, who was slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know that there's a book of life? Do you know that the book of life contains all the names of people that will dwell with the Lord forever? And I got to ask you, and I just ask everybody, I know there's many of you here that thoroughly love Jesus, but ask yourself, is my name written in that book? I'm here to tell you, my name is written in that book. Is your name written in that book? Amen. And if you're not sure if your name is in that book, you don't want to leave here today until you are sure that it's written in that book. Because there's going to come a day when everyone's going to stand there before God and that book is going to be opened and your name will be searched out. Boy, I don't know if I should dive into that. I'd like to dive into it, but I won't. And I know some of you say, aw. Well, okay, no. Folks, just because you can share something doesn't mean you should share something. I think I may have shared it before, but I'm not going to share it here today. Oh, hold on. You never know. It might just not today, but at some point, praise the Lord. It's about a personal experience I had, and I just I'm very careful about grandstanding experiences. In verse 8, and it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That's just a way of saying that all those who give their life to Christ in the tribulation, they will die by the sword. There is no way of grace in the tribulation, even for those that are saved. They are not saved by the same grace that we are. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast. Everyone say another beast. So now we've got this look at this Antichrist figure. He's going to be God incarnate. He's going to become the central figure of a demonic religion in the future. We are going to see signs of things that will be included in that demonic religion. It's happening now. I don't know if you saw this past week in the news. I just thought it was very interesting, you know, how it was, you know, coming out right at this time. There was a state lawmaker. And surprisingly enough, I believe it was in the state of Oklahoma. And we know that this state lawmaker, she said something that I thought was incredibly interesting. They were having a debate about these three letters, this philosophy and policies. It's called DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion, which basically means everybody, no matter what they do, what they say, what they believe, is included unless you're a Christian. All right, you ever heard of DEI? It's a huge thing in the whole liberal and woke lifestyle. Folks, I'm not trying to bring those things up. I'm not a political scientist. Those things are just generic words for elements that will be included in that worldwide demonic religion in the future. And they were debating, and there was a conservative, a Christian lawmaker, and they were talking about, he's like, well, no, that goes against the things of God. And this woke liberal politician said, no, DEI is God. And she said, diversity, equity, equality, and inclusion is God. And everyone stopped and started scratching their head. Wait, what? Are you equating the principles of diversity, equality, and inclusion as being God himself? And this woman said, yes. And she is a lawmaker. Because what you're starting to see, they are starting to develop. This is not just political philosophy, folks. These will be the tenets of a new demonic religion. And I know that sounds heavy. And I know it sounds controversial. Some people will even say, well, you're speaking conspiracies. It's not a conspiracy. These things will be included in all things in this demonic religion. Verse 12, and it says this, and, well, hold on, go back to verse 11. I got to finish up the verse. I beheld another beast, so someone different than the Antichrist, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as the dragon. So now this second beast will have the appearance of a lamb, but he will speak with satanic power, all right? So that's somebody who's very deceptive. If somebody looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon, you know you don't want to be deceived by that, right? Who is this second beast? Look at verse 12. And the second beast exercises all the power of the first beast, the Antichrist, before him. And this beast causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Folks, later on in the book of Revelation, this second beast is called the false prophet. Alongside the Antichrist will rise a religious leader who will then tell the world that the Antichrist should be worshiped because, after all, he did raise from the dead. And this false prophet will keep drumming up this resurrection of the beast. He will keep, you know, insisting that the world worship the Antichrist because, after all, he was shot in the head and came back to life. And so with great power and authority, there will be a religious leader who will now create this worldwide demonic religion. Oh boy, I tell you what, we're not going to have time to get to all this today. But we're going to see even more specifically how all this is going to happen in the chapters ahead. Look at verse 14. And the false prophet deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the Antichrist, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Notice this false prophet just keeps talking about the Antichrist's resurrection. And now he's going to tell the whole world, not only should you worship this guy, we should build a statue in his honor. And later on, for the sake of time, I'll tell you where they build this image. They build it in the temple at Jerusalem, and they call Antichrist God, and the Bible calls it the abomination that causes desolation. That there's coming a time when Satan will take this world religion, this demonic religion, set it up in God's holy temple site to mock and blaspheme God. Wow. We know that that temple in Jerusalem has not been built yet, but it is coming very, very soon. But I want you to look at verses 14 and 15 here. Notice, I want to point out something, and this might make me very unpopular for a second, but just hear me out. You got to listen to this because it's true. How does the Antichrist deceive those that dwell on the earth? He deceives them by means of the miracles which he can do in the sight of the Antichrist. Folks, is our God, is our Lord and Savior, is he a miracle worker? Yes, he is. Does he do miracles for us? Yes. And in the midst of us? Yes. But you must know and understand that also Satan does have some, not all, but he does have miraculous powers. And notice there are miracles that will deceive. Folks, I've got to tell you this as a pastor to keep you safe. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm a Pentecostal believer. I believe in the baptism of the Spirit. I believe in speaking in other tongues. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But what I don't believe in is being a miracle chaser. What I don't believe in is thinking that miracles are the first and foremost destination of God. They are not how you know God. You can see miracles. You can pray for miracles, but miracles do not teach you who God is. They do not allow you to know God. The Bible says that signs and wonders follow the word. What is the number one way you are going to know God personally? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Folks, I'm here to tell you that a big portion of the Pentecostal movement in America has been hijacked by a deception to chase miracles. Miracles are the result of the word. And here's what we've got to know and understand. God told us in the word what miracles to look for. And when I see somebody on TV claiming a miracle, claiming something that's happening and taking place, but it's not something described in here, I can tell you it is false. Folks, don't you dare watch that Christian TV. I mean, you can watch some great Christian TV, but don't watch the ones that stand up there and claim, look at, gold is falling from the ceiling, dust of gold. Oh, look, oil is appearing in my hand. You better watch that stuff. I'm telling you, it is deceptive. Some people say, well, Pastor, you know, I've talked to people who were there. It was absolutely miraculous. It might have been. Doesn't mean it was God. Miracle chasers are easily deceived. They are easily deceived. They are so eager and they have such good intention. They want to just see God move, and we want to see that. But what God wants most of all is for us to fill our character, for the word of God to live richly and dwell richly within us. And when people just say, well, you know, they just go, they chase miracles. Oh, well, who's got a crusade where miracles are taking place? Who's got a revival where miracles are taking place? They just run around chasing miracles. God wants you to sit down. Yeah. He wants you to study. to show yourself approved. Miracles never approved anybody, meaning in the sense that miracles do not teach you. You know what I mean? Boy, are you here today? I told you it'd make me unpopular, because when people hear this, they think that all of a sudden, pastor's against miracles. No, pastor's not against miracles. We need the power of God. We believe in the God, the miraculous God, right? But we do not try to know him through miracles. We do not try to know his will through miracles. Do you know this?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Boy. So many of the people in the church today, they're chasing miracles, but they never sit down and study this. I'd rather stand on the promise of God for 1 minute than sit there and try. If you're trying to live by miracle as a believer, it's because you're desperate. God never wanted you to live by desperation. He wanted you to stand on his promises. And miracles shouldn't be such a surprise when we hear God shows up and does something great for somebody. You say, well, that's the result of following the word. Remember, it said, Jesus said, and the Lord working with them with signs and wonders, following, meaning following the preaching of the apostles. Remember Acts chapter 4, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they ate daily from house to house, delighting in the doctrine of the apostles. Remember that? And then great power was demonstrated in their midst. You will always see the word first. But if you're just saying, oh, I gotta go chase a miracle. I gotta go chase a miracle. Folks, and I see when people go through tough time and hardships, say, well, if I just get to that healing line. God uses healing lines. But did you ever sit down and say, Father, I see this promise for healing right here. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. I believe it, Lord, this word has enough power to heal my body. That is not to take away from God's miracles. But God doesn't want, folks, that was what happened to the Israelites. They had a pillar of cloud by day that they followed. God put a massive pillar of clouds on the horizon. It was miraculous. A pillar of fire by night. They saw bread fall out of the sky. They saw the Red Sea part so they could cross it. They saw the quails come in from the whirlwind. They saw water coming out of the rock, right? They saw miracles and they still were deceived. They still rejected God. Folks, what makes you deception-proof is not miracles, because Satan is going to try to use miracles to deceive. That we got to know already. Well, God already said what he's going to do. When I see a miracle, I see a body get healed. I know that God, healed somebody. They come up out of that. I already know that is something that is approved by the Lord, right? Amen. We should know the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We should know what those things are. Amen, folks. I'm here to tell you. People that are just running around, well, I got to get in that meeting to get my miracle. Got to get in that meeting to get my miracle. Got to get in that meeting to get my miracle. You could chase a miracle, and you might even get it. You might even get it for a day or a week, but your miracle will not be sustained until the word of God dwells in you richly. Dwells in you richly. If you are just trying to go around and pickpocket miracles, trying to go around and pickpocket your miracle, and yet you've never studied. The Bible says study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Right? Jesus said, God said in Proverbs chapter 4, God's words are life to those that find it, health to all their flesh. Proverbs 16:23, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and strength and medicine to the bones. God's word is the ultimate health. Oh boy, I had to take a little time out and share that with you. Remember, there are satanic miracles, and we've seen some of them creep in the church. Oh, the gold dust, it's the glory of God. No, it's not. It's a bunch of miracle chasers being deceived. Oh, so-and-so had oil appear in their hands. Well, guess what? That's funny. Jesus didn't even have that happen. Oh, well, this happened. You know, I remember years and years ago, one of the great revivals that were taking place here in America, the leader of that revival took the Bible and he threw it on the floor. And he said, we're beyond that now. I know some of you are here, you remember that. And I was watching that revival for about 5 minutes. I was like, oh dear heavens. When the leader is that deceived, you know the people are going to get deceived too. Even though there was a lot of good people, good intentioned people there. Folks, we've got to, the Bible says, with all you're getting, get what? Knowledge and understanding. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People are never destroyed for a lack of miracles. They're not destroyed for a lack of miracles. You getting a hold of this? Let's go to verse 15. And it said, the false prophet had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so now this false prophet is going to give the illusion that he's going to make some kind of image of this beast speak and live. Imagine that. Which is very interesting, folks. I'm not going to go take a deep dive into this. If you look into the history of images that could speak, do you know, how many of you remember over there in Acts chapter 16, when Paul the apostle dealt with the damsel, remember, who had a fortune-telling spirit? It says that she had the spirit of Python. How many of you remember that in your Bible? Okay, five of you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Paul came across this young girl who was being used in what the Bible called soothsaying. Now, we often say, well, today that would be the modern equivalent of fortune tellers. Lilydale up the road, right? Well, soothsaying was a little bit different than just fortune telling. Soothsaying in ancient pagan religions was this ability to give the impression that a statue could talk. And that statue would tell you your future. And so the devil has no new tricks. He's not going to do anything new. He's going to go to an old play in a playbook, and he's going to give the world an image that he is going to falsely appear as if it's speaking or it came to life. It is no different than Acts chapter 16. The devil is still doing the same old things. Why? Because he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He will not reign forever. Glory to God. But so he will give some kind of image. What will it be? Will it be some kind of robotic technology? You know? What will it be? Holographic in nature? We don't know how it will look. But he's going to make something appear that as if it was, you know, a natural, just a dead inanimate object that comes to life, and it will be an image of this Antichrist. Now, verse 16 is now when it's going to start getting a little closer to home for us. And he, so now we're learning what this false prophet is doing. He performs false miracles. He forces the world to worship the Antichrist. He is this one, he appears meek and small, but he speaks words that are devil-inspired. And now it says in verse 16, and he, the false prophet, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Verse 17. And that no man might buy or sell, except he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the Antichrist, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Now, what I'm not going to do here today is take a deep dive in why 666, because I know that's all what you're just wanting to know. I have one simple, practical theory. The Bible does not tell us what 666 means. But if you'll look at verse 18, I just have an opinion. You want me to share my opinion? What does 666 mean? Look at what it says. For it is the number of a man. We know the Antichrist is a man, but here's the thing. Remember, he says that he is God. All right. Now, when you study the Bible, and I'm not here to be getting to the depths of numerology and all that stuff. But when you study the Bible, the number 6 is the number of humanity. Number 7 is the number of God. God is the highest creation. Man is always under God. And so when the Antichrist says that he is God and he chooses a number to represent his name, 666, it's ironic that it just means six, three times over, you're just a man. You are not God, you are not God, you are not God. No matter, that's just my simple theory. Either way, it's true, he's not God, and he chose the number that God already foretold just means you come short. You come short, and he takes great pride stamping everybody's head with 666, or their right hand, 666, or his name. So everyone thinks that number is scary. It ain't scary to God. There ain't no bad luck in that number for you as a believer, right? But go back to verse 16. We got to talk about this, the mark of the beast. So this is another thing that this Antichrist does. He says, worship this beast that was wounded in his head and now lives. Worship him. Make this image live. Deceives the world with false miracles and so on. Well, they appear real. Those miracles are spiritual in nature, but they're false because they're from the devil. That's just so you know and understand. And now he says, This false prophet forces the world, small and great, rich and poor, free or bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Why? Verse 17, that no man could buy or sell, that they will be forced. If you want to buy food, you got to have this mark. If you want to work, you've got to have this mark. If you want to do anything in your life, you've got to have the mark of this Antichrist. This false religion, this demonic religion just forces itself on everybody. Do you see that in our nation? If you disagree with it, they hate you. Oh, yeah. Have you wondered why all of a sudden, back when I was younger, you could have a political talk with somebody that was different from you and you just disagree? Now it's division and it's hate. If you don't see it their way, they hate you. Do you see that? Because they will force this demonic religion on people to the point they will force something upon your body. You will be forced to have this if you're going to buy or sell, work, trade, travel, you name it. This is the mark of the beast. Folks, we have seen something very similar in the days that we live in. Everybody, please listen to me right now. Listen. I am going to use an example, and it's something just in our recent, right here, you know, recently in our world and in our nation, something regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. Folks, I am not here to talk about the vaccination itself. I am not. Is everybody listening? Where's the camera? There, that's the camera. Are you listening? The vaccination for the COVID-19 pandemic, whatever brand it is not the mark of the beast. That is absolutely false and foolish, and there are preachers that are preaching it, and you should not listen to them. It is not the mark of the beast. Listen, there's people in here that have had the vaccination. There's people in here that have chosen not to have the vaccination. This is not about whether I think the vaccination is right or wrong or a good medication or a bad medication. I have said from the beginning, and I say it to this day, that is your decision. I would not tell you what food to eat. As a pastor, I don't tell you what medicine to take or not to take. So I am not talking about the medicine itself. I'm talking about the mentality of how it was used. All right, did everybody hear that? I'm not talking about the medicine itself. I'm talking about how it was used. Folks, did you see what happened for the first time in recent history, in pretty much world history, where all of a sudden the governments of the world came and said, listen, You can't be in public unless you get this. You can't go to certain stores unless you get this. Oh, we're shutting down worship. We're going to force you. You can't worship when you want. You can't worship together. Oh, no. You can't visit your elderly loved ones unless you get this. Some stores started to require it. Professions. You can't be a truck driver unless you get it. You can't be a pilot unless you get it. You can't do this. There were people that lost their livelihoods. Thousands of nurses, like literally tens of thousands all throughout our country decided not to get it. They lost their livelihood. Truckers, you can't be a pilot unless you get it. You cannot travel unless you get it. You can't go to Canada unless you get it. Did you see that? Again, it's not the medicine itself. It was how it was used. For the first time, we saw in recent history and even going way back, governments have tried to inoculate, people and force these things. Never at this level where they try to tell you can worship or not. You can eat or not. You can work or not. That was a soft, very soft trial run for what the mark of the beast will be someday. The vaccine, did everyone hear me? It is not the mark of the beast. If you got it, good. If you didn't, good. Whatever your heart decided to do, that is not for me to tell you what to do. All right? You got to know and understand that. But you do need to know and understand that it was used in a way that starts to very much portray. It is not the mark of the beast. I have somebody come up to me after I preached this in Erie last night. Pastor, that's not the mark of the beast, is it? No. 1,000 times. Oh, there's a camera again. The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. Please stop listening to outrageous, crazy stuff. Preachers get up there, they say this stuff, because you know what? They think that it'll get them lots of views and people take interest. It's not. But the way the governments of the world responded to the COVID-19 pandemic, it shows us that ultimately they want to control whether you worship or not. They want to control whether you work or not. That's what they're trying to do. And why? Why are we seeing these things? Because these prophetic events are casting their shadow before they get here. Folks, are you seeing this? Oh, my goodness. Well, I could dive in a little bit further, but if I do, you are going to be late to lunch. Not that I'm not beyond making you late for lunch, but this is a good time to unhook. Folks, we see what the Antichrist will do. And real quickly, if you want, don't have to turn there now, but go over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4:3 tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world. Well before the Antichrist even gets here, that spirit will operate. Can you bring up 1 John 4:3? Let's just throw it up. You don't need to turn there, but for the sake of time, let's look at the scripture on the screen. It says, "And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come," or he should come. "And even now, the spirit of Antichrist," even though the Antichrist himself is not here, "even now already his spirit is in the world." Governments all the time. Sure. Folks, we've had U.S. presidents with the spirit of Antichrist on them heavily. Folks, you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't believe they're going to try to force this into a religion." Folks, do you remember? I'm not here to mention presidents' names in the sense I'm not trying to approve, disapprove. Listen, you could go back to the first George Bush and the stuff that he said was downright crazy. The spirit of Antichrist was on that man so heavily. There later on came a U.S. president in recent history. His name is Barack Obama. He got up and made several speeches about how we must follow collective salvation. Did you ever hear the speeches on collective salvation? It was a belief that we all must do the same thing in society. We all have to be inclusive and believe these things if we're going to be saved spiritually in society. He made that speech several times. He made it at universities. He made it publicly. He kept, you know, hammering on this idea of collective salvation. That's a spiritual concept. It was the tenets of a coming world religion that says all things go. Everybody's included except for Christ. Except for Christ. That spirit of Antichrist that wants to control. It wants to, you know, force you. It wants to absolutely dominate the people of God. Folks, I'm not here today to scare you. I'm not here to be controversial and spectacular. I'm just here to let you know the days and times that you live in. You've got to be educated on this stuff. And again, this is a subject that so many people shy away because they don't want to have to tell you these things. They don't want to have to study these things. They don't want to have the spiritual insight to see these things coming down the track. But folks, I've got good news. The trumpet's going to sound. The archangel is going to shout. Folks, we are living in Bible days on this earth. Get seeking God. Seek him like you never have before. Put some things down in your life. Amen. Start picking up the things of God. Get into this word and meditate in his word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The sustenance of man is not your wants and it is not your needs. The sustenance of man is the word of God. It's the only thing that can fill you and truly bless you. A relationship with God is the only life that is the best. Amen. Folks, let's get stirred up. Let's get stirred up. Let's live for God. Let's bring people to Jesus. And I know they think, oh, he's trying to, you know, be spectacular. He's trying to, you know, lead some kind of, you know, cult-like revival or something. No, let's just be real about it. And let's worship the Lord. And I don't know about you, I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm glad to be a child of God. You get something out of this here today? Folks, we read these things, we understand these things, we guard the words of this prophecy, and we receive a blessing. Amen? That's my message. You know I'm sticking to it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we love you and praise you today. Lord, I believe all these things shall come to pass. Lord, we know that some of the minute details, we don't know them. We don't know how exactly it's going to look. But Lord, we know that there is coming a day when that trumpet will sound and the church will be raptured. Father, you prophesied it. It shall come to pass. Your word says it, and your word is forever settled in heaven. Lord, you said over there in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice, with the last trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that remain and are still alive shall be caught up or raptured together to be with the Lord forever. Lord, you told us to comfort one another with these words. Father, we believe it shall come to pass. Father, the same scripture that tells us that Jesus came is the same scripture that tells us he's coming again. And Father, we know that when that trumpet sounds, the age of grace is going to come to a close. And Lord, that we're motivated today to live our best lives for you. Lord, we're not trying to be strange or try to be zealots. We want to be sincere. We want to put first things first. Father, we don't want to be so distracted by our lives in this world. We want to know you. We're not trying to put legalism on ourselves. Father, we're not trying to deny miracles or something like that. Father, you are faithful, you are merciful, you are powerful. You're our Savior, our healer, our provider. You do it supernaturally. But Lord, we don't chase those things first. We chase your word. We want your word to dwell in us richly. We want to be our best for you. Father, I pray for each individual here today that, Lord, that they would step up and they would soberly judge themselves. Lord, you said if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. That we take a sober look at our lives. Take a look at the things which are useless. Yeah. Take a look at the things that are useless in our life. And set them aside and go in through that straight gate and seek you and have a relationship with you, to know you, We don't read our Bible because it's a rule. We read our Bible to know and to meditate upon you. Father, that you would fill our thoughts, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, that you would show us things to come. Father, I pray for each one here, that they would make a greater consecration to you, myself included. Father, you are so faithful and good. These things shall come to pass just as you have said. Lord, you are not a man that you should lie. You are not the son of a man that you would repent. For if you've spoken it, you will make it good. And Lord, we thank you. Your word is forever settled. With all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, please, nobody looking around. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, today's your day. Now is the accepted time to invite the Lord into your heart. If you're here and you've never personally received Jesus, if you've never personally done what Romans 10:9 says to do, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. He'll save you with his mercy, with his grace. No matter what sins we've been living in, God will save us and give us an opportunity to turn from that sin and to seek him. Folks, it's not a trend, it's not trendy to say that Jesus is coming soon. I truly believe our days are very, very short. And even if we all live to 120, you know time goes so very fast. So whether these things come to pass in our lifetime or not, it's all gonna come and go, and we need to be ready for the Lord. If you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not gonna make you stand up. I'm not gonna bring you down front. I'm simply gonna ask you to lift your hand. If you'd like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm gonna have you lift your hand. When I see your hand, you'll simply hear me say, you can put it down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. Everybody will be praying. And right there in your seat, you can confess that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. But if that's you, can you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you are unsure of your eternal destiny? You are unsure that if today was your last day on earth, whether you would you be in heaven or would you be separated from God in a place called hell? I know hell is real. It exists, but I've got good news for you. Heaven is real. Heaven exists. The only reason someone would end up in hell is because they failed to receive the salvation that God provided for them. Is there anyone here today that said, Pastor, I need to be saved. I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Could you lift your hand real quickly? Is there anybody? I know we have a lot of believers here. I'm not surprised. I look around. I know almost everybody in the room, but there's a few that I don't. And so I've got to take the time to make sure. Eyes are still closed, heads are still bowed. If you're here today as a believer and you could say, Pastor, I know that I've gotten distracted in my life. I know that I'm not seeking the Lord like I should. Of course, we all could be doing more, believe me. But I'm making the point here. If you've fallen away from God and you need to rededicate today, or today's the day you just decide to stir yourself up, and get back on track with God, start putting him first, start seeking him, maybe put some things down. If that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand? If that's you, could you go ahead and lift your hand? Is there anybody? I see that hand, that hand, that hand, that hand, and that hand. Several hands, you can put them down. God loves you. Let's be stirred up. Actually, today I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. We're going to do something different. I'm not going to call you up front, but eyes are closed, heads are bowed. Take this moment with yourself. Right there in your heart, make that decision. Flip that switch. I think we all can do that. Father God, we just come before you today. We consecrate ourselves. We understand that this life with you is very serious. And Lord, you fill our lives with a lot of joy, so much good. And Lord, we know that right now we're talking about some heavy topics. But Lord, we just gotta judge ourselves at times. make sure that our priorities are straight. If our priorities are wrong, we just take this moment right now, we just flip that switch and say, Lord, we're gonna step up. We're gonna put some of this, we're gonna put some of these distractions down. We're gonna pick up the things of God. We're gonna turn the TV off for a little while, get into the Word. Put social media down for a little while. Doesn't mean we can't have it sometimes. And Lord, we're gonna seek you more. We're gonna get into the Word. We're gonna meditate on your promises. We're gonna study the Bible. We're gonna show ourselves approved. Father, we just praise you and glorify you. Lord, I pray for each one today that your presence would rest upon them. And we give you the praise and the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. I know, what a topic to preach on the morning after we all lost an hour of sleep. Well, maybe after that message, you might lose a few more hours of sleep. Who knows? Did you get something out of this here today? Folks, I don't know about you, but I want to go higher with the Lord. I want this congregation to go higher with God. Wednesday night, if you can be here at 7 p.m., you know, the Lord has been dealing with me. There's some things that were spoken into my heart, even here as we were getting ready. There's some things that we're going to bring out here on Wednesday about stirring our faith. And so if you can be here, be here. Just come as you are. I don't care. I mean, as long as you're fully dressed, we're okay with it, right? Let's go ahead and give him praise and glory as we dismiss. Father, we praise you today. We glorify you here today. Father, I command your hand of blessing upon each one. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.